Hello and welcome to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. I'm John Stillman alongside Joel Johnson, certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. Joel has been published in Forbes and the Wall Street Journal. He's been an analyst on Fox Business and Fox Connecticut. He's the host of Better Money every weekend on the Saturday and Sunday morning news with Kara Sundlin. He's the author of six of his own books, including most famously The Money Map, and he's here to share his wisdom with us today. Joel, we like to get your wisdom of all sorts on this program, but let's talk about some hot stock tips, which seems to fly in the face of the money wisdom that we usually talk about here on the show. But little birdie told me, heard a rumor that you've been getting some hot stock tips from your sons. How's that been going?
Oh, I've been getting hot stock tips from my son, from more than one son, actually. And then I've got stock tips that my sons are hearing from their friends. And then we've got, from time to time, we have people come into the office here and their kids are giving them stock tips. Let me just review some of the ones that we've received recently. So first of all, one that did sort of work out was a company called Tencent. Tencent is a Chinese company. I believe they're like the Google of China. No, that would be Baidu. Anyway, not sure exactly what they do, but here's an example of usually when people are hearing the tip, the stock has made its run and they buy in, as did a client that I know, and they promptly lost about 20% of their money. So sometimes these stock tips we have to be very careful of. There's another Chinese company that's supposedly the Netflix of China. Netflix has just been a huge home run here in the U.S. And, if you pay any attention to what the younger set is doing, they don't even watch TV anymore. They're watching Netflix, Amazon TV, Hulu. And so, the Chinese Netflix just went public about 2 or 3 months ago, and promptly went from about $15 a share to around 40 or 45. And then once everybody got sucked in, boom, went right back down another 20%. And, another example of a stock tip. And my son was the one that thought that everybody should be plowing their money into that. He got lucky. He sold right at the top when he had already made a 20% profit. But if he would have held just a little too long, and it was luck that he sold at the top, he would have rode it right back down to where he bought it. So got to be careful about some of these stock tips. And some people even have them on big blue chip companies. I remember somebody saying Bank of America during the financial crisis, Bank of America at $38 can't possibly go any lower. And then, of course, people lost about 80% of their money there. So, investing is not a game. You can certainly have an account. Some of our clients have little accounts that they play with and speculate with and buy individual stocks. But when we're talking about your core retirement nest egg, that money that is supposed to last for the rest of your life, that money is supposed to deliver paychecks to you every month for the rest of your life, don't play around with it. Just don't play around with it. Have separate money. If you want to speculate a little bit, you might hit home runs. But there is a reason why pension funds invest the way they do. They invest to preserve principal and send out paychecks to the people they've promised that income to. And that's really how you should be looking at investing your core money in retirement that's supposed to give you a check. Not chasing stocks, not worried about did I beat the market this year or not. Getting a reasonable rate of return that you can count on every single month so that you get a paycheck that you can spend every month for the rest of your life.
Well, let's talk about what a good, solid overall retirement plan looks like, because obviously trying to pick the next great stock, Chinese or otherwise, is not what you want to be doing with your retirement money when you're about to need that money for income. So let's talk, Joel, about the retirement pyramid. So obviously, when we think about a pyramid, these are structures that have been around for I don't know how many thousands of years. And because of the way they're built, they're very solid. They last a long time, which is exactly the same thing we want out of your retirement. So, Joel, if someone's financial life, if someone's retirement plan was going to be a pyramid, how would you break down the different levels that make up that pyramid? We had the food pyramid back in the day, which we now know to be actually a major cause of obesity because it had this huge foundation of carbs at the bottom. So we've since gotten better on the science on that. But for our retirement pyramid, what do we want that to look like?
Well, I think to make it real simple, because we can make this complicated with probably 5, 6, 7, 8 levels even, but just to keep it simple, the bottom part of that pyramid, the big fat part of the pyramid, should probably be protecting against risk. These would be our insurance needs, long-term care insurance, maybe life insurance, maybe homeowners insurance, some kind of an umbrella policy that people should have. That should be the bottom part of the pyramid. The middle part of the pyramid should be guaranteed income, consistent income that you can count on living on for the rest of your life. That might be pensions, Social Security, and so on. We'll get into a little more detail on some of these. And then the top part should be your long-term investments, your stock, bonds, your CDs, your mutual funds that are discretionary to the, from the standpoint of you can change the investments around from time to time. You can take income out, but it doesn't have to be consistent income. If you don't want it to, you can take big chunks out to take the kids on a cruise or something like that, or you can just leave it alone for growth. So those should really be the three levels, I believe, to just for the purpose of our discussion on the radio here today. Foundation is insurance. That's the big fat part of the pyramid. The middle part is guaranteed income, producing monthly checks for as long as you live. And then long-term investments should be the top.
Interesting that you started. You made the base of your pyramid probably the least interesting part of this discussion, that being your insurance protections. But obviously you feel that's a very important thing to have as the base.
Well, that's the foundation. I mean, if you think about it, if you don't have insurance protection, you go out and you get in a car accident today and you, God forbid, you plow into a school bus and there's massive lawsuits and you don't have homeowners insurance or auto insurance or an umbrella policy, what does it matter how your $1 million is invested in the market? It doesn't matter because you're going to lose it. You're going to lose that $1 million, and probably the judgments against you are going to be much higher than $1 million. So insurance simply covers the risks that could take away your assets, and it just makes sense to have insurance. And I'm not talking about being insurance poor. You know, some of these people out there that try to sell you way more life insurance than you'll need, or you know, some type of insurance that you really don't need. It's just benefiting them, not you. I'm talking about protecting against the risk that could take away your quality of life in retirement. Long-term care is a big one here. Everybody should be analyzing whether they need long-term care, because long-term care, you could spend $10,000 a month or more paying for long-term care. Is that something you want to insure for? Maybe it is, maybe you don't. But at least we should speak about and have a conversation about this bottom part of the pyramid. So the bottom part of the pyramid, again, insuring or structuring your life so that you don't get wiped out by some unexpected event.
Okay, so that's our base. That's our foundation. Next up, you said guaranteed income. That's the next level of the pyramid, which is still a pretty substantial part of the pyramid, right there above the foundation of the insurance protections. What are all the things that go into that guaranteed income conversation? Obviously, I guess Social Security is the one that most people think of first.
Well, sure. I mean, these would be anything that you need to create paychecks for life, that monthly cash flow that's coming in that you can live on. You know, if I ask my wife, Wendy, who doesn't like to get deep into the details on investments and so on, you know, what is retirement? What does that look like? She'll say, well, I'll have enough income every month so I can do the things I want to do. Sometimes simplicity wins the day. Sometimes we're too close, and especially those of you that are sophisticated from an investment standpoint, you're too close to all the details to see the simplicity of just saying, hey, I need a check every month for the rest of my life, and I want it to be $15,000 a month or $5,000 a month, whatever it is. So the middle part of that pyramid should be the things that can create for us monthly checks no matter what happens. So Social Security would be an example. A pension guaranteed by a big company would be an example of that. A portfolio that's structured for income, not so much for maximum growth, but for income. So you might have no fluctuation or just a little bit of fluctuation, but consistently, again, getting those checks that you can count on for the rest of your life. You might even have some insurance products in this area, some type of annuities or guaranteed investment contracts that provide, again, checks for the rest of your life. So this isn't a part of the pyramid, this guaranteed income piece, where we're trying to beat the market or get the maximum rate of return. We're trying to structure some of our assets so after we've got the base covered, the bottom part covered, which is our insurance, then we've got income for life. Now think about that. So we've just covered the first two levels of the pyramid, the bottom level and the middle pyramid. We've covered protecting against risk and creating paychecks for life. And it's that simple. For many people, they only have enough money to do those two things, but those two things provide them with a tremendous quality life in retirement. The trick with this middle part, this guaranteed income part, is there are a lot of potholes, I will say, in the road to building a portfolio that's correct to provide paychecks for the rest of your life. You make a mistake here and you could end up having to take money from another pocket to supplement it. You could end up having to drop your income or reduce your lifestyle, and most people don't want to do that. So a lot of attention needs to be put into structuring this guaranteed income piece properly. And a lot of advisors, I hate to say it, but a lot of advisors are not expert in this area. And a lot of people that are do-it-yourself investors are getting their data from mutual fund companies, and they're going to have a rude awakening when this market turns down.
Well, that leaves us with the top part of the pyramid, which is, of course, the smallest piece of the whole puzzle here, but it's probably the piece that people spend most of their time paying attention to. So maybe there's a lesson there that pay a little bit more attention to some of these things at the base of your pyramid. But Joel, that top level of the pyramid, as you said, is your investments, your market-based investments. And again, that's what most people are going to look at the most. But here you are saying that's the smallest part of the pyramid.
Right. And some people make this foundation the foundation of their pyramid, talking about the stocks, the bonds, the CDs, the different types of products that they own, mutual funds, and so on. If you think about it, if this is your main focus, you flip your pyramid upside down. Your pyramid is very unstable because you've got the investments at the bottom. You don't have your insurance needs or your risk needs taken care of, and you do not have your guaranteed income needs taken care of because you've got the investments at the bottom and it's flipped upside down. The investments should be at the top of your pyramid. Once you've made sure that you have the guaranteed income to last as long as you live or as close to guaranteed as possible, that your risks are taken care of, now let's talk about how to grow the rest of your net worth. Now let's talk about stocks, bonds, mutual funds. Do you have the right portfolio based on your risk tolerance, based on the things that have happened in the past in your life that could cause you to make poor investment decisions when things get stressful, which they will? So the investment piece has to be on the top of that pyramid. You've got to keep it in the right order. If you don't keep it in the right order, there will be trouble to come. And if you put the investments first, what's going to happen is you're going to have to adjust other parts of the pyramid, like your guaranteed income or the insurance part, and it could put you in even more danger than if you would have just got this in the right order in the first place. Again, folks, insurance at the bottom, protection from risk. The middle part of the pyramid should be guaranteed income. The top part should be your long-term investments. The math is pretty simple when it comes to your retirement nest egg. You need to produce enough income to last through retirement, covering all your expenses, because that biweekly paycheck is a thing of the past. Going broke isn't an option. I mean, that's where a customized Money Map retirement plan from our team can help. If you're among the first 10 callers, we're going to offer you, in fact, we'll provide you with this no obligation Money Map retirement review. Now, here's what it'll show. It'll show strategies designed to help maximize your Social Security income. It'll also show you ways to make sure that you'll never run out of money during retirement, and maybe, more importantly, how to make your nest egg as tax efficient as possible. The customized Money Map Retirement Review is available, again, to the first 10 callers. Call now, 1-800-705-1232. If you've saved at least $250,000 for retirement, call 1-800-705-1232. It really never hurts to get a second opinion on your retirement plan. So give us a buzz, set up a time to come on in and visit with us. 1-800-705-1232.
Again, 800-705-1232. You can call or text. If you text, just be sure to include your first and last name. 800-705-1232. Come in for your complimentary Money Map retirement review. You'll leave with a copy of one of Joel's books and a head full of knowledge that'll help you moving forward with your retirement planning. 800-705-1232 is the number to call. That's 800-705-1232. Joel, risk aversion is a term that a lot of people use, but I think a lot of people mean something different when they say it compared to the next person that says it. So what does it mean to you when somebody tells you that they're risk averse?
Well, first let me say, many times when people come in from this radio program and they talk to us and they take us up on that second opinion, we're going through their an analysis of their investments and how risky or not risky their investments are, and we're going through their income plan and are they going to have enough money to last for the rest of their lives in retirement and so on. Rarely do they say, I am risk averse. Usually they'll say something like, I don't know if I want to lose any money here, Joel. If I lose money again, my spouse is going to just be so upset at me. My parents lost money in their retirement. They had to change their whole lifestyle. It'll be somewhere around there. I remember what it was like back in 2008 when the market went down, and I never want that to happen again. So usually somebody is not going to say to me, I am very risk averse. They will describe what it is to be risk averse. And it's very important that a good financial advisor listens to what you're saying, because you might not say the words that they think in. You know, one of the problems with this business that I'm in is that we have these cookie cutter phrases, these little phrases we've all been taught by, you know, a firm that, for instance, like me, I started out with a big brokerage firm back in 1989, and, you know, they had these cookie cutter phrases, and if a client didn't say those exact things, the broker just couldn't relate. Well, that's a problem even with people that have been in this business for 20 or 30 years. So I doubt you would come into my office and say, I'm very risk averse. But you would say something like, I don't want to lose any of my money. I want to generate income for the rest of my life, but I don't want my principal to go down. That is risk averse, but very few people say that. So when somebody says they're risk averse to me, or somebody says words that mean that to me, it really means that I need to be really cautious in managing their money. I need to make sure I explain that based on the different investment strategies or products that they use, how much those products could go down given a downturn in the market, and make sure the client is comfortable with that. Or assessing the need for just things that won't go down where your principal is guaranteed. And of course, those are out there. Not every advisor talks about those things. But just to have something that you won't lose the money. You'll get a rate of return that's reasonable, but you won't lose the money. And so as a professional, it's my job to really probe into what a client is telling me and make sure that I completely understand their position when it comes to risk and the potential of losing money.
Well, why is it, and I know you've seen this, that people say, well, I don't want to take much risk, I don't want to lose my money, but then you look at their portfolio and they're invested with all sorts of risks. Why does that keep happening?
They don't know that they're taking the risk. They have poor financial advisors. I hate to say it, but a lot of financial advisors out there have a lot less money than their clients have invested, which is a problem. Some financial advisors are living way over their head. They don't have any investment money set aside. They're living in a house they can't afford, and they're driving a Mercedes or a nice car that is all leased, and they look very different than their clients that they're trying to serve, or supposed clients they're trying to serve. And so when it comes to a conversation where somebody comes in and sees us from this radio program or from our TV program, and they're taking much more risk than they realize, many times they're just getting really bad advice from immature financial advisors that don't have any money on their own. Another time, we might have somebody come in where they're managing their own money, and because of the way mutual fund performance has been lately and stock performance has been, they're disconnected completely for what will happen when the market goes down. I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but the market will go down. It'll go down in a big way, where the excuse that we find to explain why the market went down will be something that was supposedly unforeseen, but it will drop 20, 30, 40, or 50%. And when that happens, some people will go down even more than that. And in the meantime, over the last few years, because nothing's happened, they're just feeling very, very comfortable. So we see it all the time, people taking so much more risk than they realize. Part of it is they have no plan. They're sitting there talking to a financial advisor and they're just going through the investments. They have no plan. There's been no analysis. There's been no stress test on their portfolio. There's not an income plan to create income for the rest of their lives and give them raises every year to keep up with inflation. There's no plan. There's just this immature discussion with the financial advisor or the broker and the client that revolves all around whether you're in the right stocks or right mutual funds, and that is a recipe for disaster. So that's why we see so many people that claim to be risk averse, and yet so much of their retirement money is in risky places. And risk, of course, is defined by a loss of capital of more than 20 or 30%, where the client would be tempted to pull their money out of whatever investment strategy they're taking. And by the way, for some of you, that means losing more than 5% or 10%, but any amount of risk where your portfolio can go down and tempt you to do the wrong thing at the wrong time, that is problematic, and you don't even know you're taking that risk until the event happens.
Tell us about a time, and I know you've seen this, where somebody is certain, almost to the point of belligerence, that they're invested conservatively, and you're trying to tell them that, well, you're not really that conservative, and then you run that stress test on their portfolio and show them in black and white how not conservative they are. Tell us about a time that's happened. What were the reactions, and how did that conversation go?
Well, I can think of a few years ago, and I think of the husband and wife's name. I'm not going to mention the names, but let's just say it's Bob and Betty. We'll use substitute names. And they came in. They'd been working with another advisor, and this was in about 2006, 2007, so right when the market had done well over a period of time, very similar to now. And they came in, and they were taking retirement income off their portfolio, and we showed them. We did a Morningstar analysis of their portfolio. I think we did even S&P, which we also subscribe to, analysis of their portfolio. And we showed them on that portfolio, given that portfolio, that they could potentially lose if 01 and 02 repeats itself, up to, I think it was about 38% of their money, just based on what had happened in 01 and 02. They didn't believe it. They said, we keep talking to our financial advisor. He said, none of that matters. It's just the dividends that matter. This is what they were being told. The dividends matter. As long as you get your dividends, it doesn't matter the value of the account. And I said, Bob and Betty, you don't realize how you're going to feel when that account drops. And the fact that somebody is telling you, don't worry about the account value, it's the dividends that matter, that may or may not be correct, but it's going to be everything that you can do to stay in that portfolio, and most people can't. Well, sure enough, what happened is a few years later, they came back in, and that had happened. Their portfolio was down by about 35%, if I remember correctly, and they were still getting some of their dividends. The bank stocks and the funds that had held bank stocks had to cut their dividends, but they were still getting some of their dividends. But here they were down about $350,000 on their retirement money, and the advisor was still telling them, it's the dividends that matter. Don't pay any attention to the value of your statement. It's the dividends that matter. If you could have seen the look on these people's faces, on the couple, Bob and Betty's faces, when they were describing this to me, they didn't look like the dividends were the only thing that mattered. They did not look like they felt like ignoring the value of the account. All they could think of is, we're still young in retirement, we had $1 million, and now it's $650,000, and we're scared to death that that will continue to happen, and we won't be able to get the retirement income we need. See, this is not this business. The financial advice business and finding a good financial advisor has very little to do with facts and figures and analysis. It has everything to do with, how will somebody behave? How will they feel when what is inevitably going to happen happens? When the market goes down or when the market goes way up, how are they going to feel? How are they going to react? And that's where financial advisors, good quality financial advisors, really earn their keep. It's also where the poor ones hurt people. And it's really too bad that there's that many people out there that are getting hurt by bad advice from sometimes people that don't have any of their own savings built up at all. So, you know, your original question was, John, think of a situation where somebody's come in and they're taking much more risk. This situation just proved itself with Bob and Betty. And it's just a shame. That does not have to happen. And here's the ironic thing. They didn't need to take the risk they were taking. They would have been just fine with that $1 million portfolio getting about a 2.5% to 3% rate of return. Yet some advisor talked them into taking more risk because it was his firm's opinion to do that. And look what happened to them, and their lives have been permanently changed. I mean, the fact that, you know, I haven't talked to them since then, but, you know, here we are 9 years later, and I don't know if they hung in there with that portfolio or not, but based on the looks on their faces, I bet they didn't, which means their lives were permanently changed by, number one, taking too much risk, and number two, getting bad advice from somebody. We really prefer that you get good planning in advance before you end up in a situation like this. So here's what I'd like to do. If you call us in the next 15 minutes, we're going to custom design for you an easy to understand financial plan. It'll indicate whether you're in need of a full financial plan, a full, deep, detailed financial plan. There's no obligation or cost for this initial review. For every one of you that have at least $250,000 saved for retirement, we'll do that if you call in the next 15 minutes. Again, if you meet those qualifications, here's what you can expect. We're going to run a fee report, show you exactly how much you're paying in fees for your investment management. Those of you that don't think you're paying anything, that's highly unlikely. We'll put a stress test on your portfolio. We'll show you exactly how much you could lose if the market turns down again. We want to untangle the confusion of what's happening in your portfolio so you know exactly what fees and exactly how much risk you're taking. Next thing we'll do is we'll perform a tax analysis to show you how we could possibly reduce your taxes and increase your cash flow. And finally, we'll create a customized lifetime income plan using proven strategies and techniques that could turbocharge your retirement income. We call all of this our money map, our one-page money map. We're going to take the guesswork out of your financial planning for you. So if you call in the next 15 minutes, you'll have a comprehensive financial review. That's what we're going to give you. We call it our money map retirement review. And oh, by the way, there's no obligation, no charge. Call 1-800-705-1232. Again, that's 1-800-705-1232.
Great opportunity if you're retired already, or you'll be retiring in the next decade or so, and you want to be sure that you're making the best decisions you can make for yourself. Come in for your own Money Map Retirement Review. 800-705-1232 is the number. That's 800-705-1232. When you come in, you'll get a copy of one of Joel's books, and you can take that with you when you go. Again, 800-705-1232. 1232 is the number to call or text. If you text, just be sure to include your first and last name. One more time, 800-705-1232. That's all we have time for this week on Money Wisdom. On behalf of Joel Johnson and everybody at Johnson Brunetti, we hope you have a great week. Talk to you soon.
Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products and services are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents in all appropriate jurisdictions.